First, public health experts say there's a big factor that's holding us back from getting the upper hand on COVID-19. It's not just the lack of a vaccine or people not wearing masks or not social distancing, though all of those are important. It's a lack of standardized data. Sure, we hear about the number of positive and negative tests, hospitalizations, and deaths coming out of local and state offices. Those figures only say so much. And health officials say it's particularly critical to get that standardized data as we creep closer and closer to the start of a new school year. Dr. Amish Adalja is a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security. He focuses on emerging infectious disease, pandemic preparedness, and biosecurity. Dr. Adalja, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We see lots of data, lots of numbers when it comes to COVID-19, but how is it falling short when it comes to standardizing, to know we're comparing apples to apples from one community to another?
It's very hard to do that because states have their own data collection systems. They look, some of them may be including certain types of tests and not including other types of tests. Some might be lumping certain tests together. And then you also have the idea of these lags that some states will all of a sudden update their numbers when they get a bunch of lab reports from a private lab, for example. And then that can make things look like something has gotten out of control or something is better than it is because it's reflecting some time in the past. And I think it makes it very hard for someone who doesn't spend time poring over that data and looking at all the fine print to be able to get an accurate perception of what's going on in their given region or community.
It seems like a basic thing in some ways. Why can't we get every state on the same, or at least the same-ish page, when it comes to how we collect and tabulate data like this?
We're in the midst of a pandemic, and you have to remember that state health departments, county health departments, city health departments, their computer systems and their data collection are not what we're used to in our day-to-day life. These departments are often neglected and they don't necessarily have modern equipment, and it is going to cause problems with data. Eventually, we will get a picture when all of that data is collated by groups like the CDC. But in the midst of this, it's something that we expected to see, and it's something that happens during every pandemic. And in the fog of that pandemic, a lot of that data is kind of moving parts and really comes with a lot of caveats.
How does this lack of standardized data get in the way of our efforts to contain COVID-19?
Well, you want people to know what's going on in their community so that they can take actions based on it. So if they know what the percent positivity of tests are, if they know how many cases are arising that are not on the radar of contact tracers, they want to know what's going on in their hospitals in real time, not just how many people have been hospitalized over the last month, but how many are in the hospital now and what percentage of hospital capacity is being used for COVID patients. All of that really helps a person decide how safe it is for them to do certain activities. And it's also really important for people who are trying to respond to that they have access to that data as well, because we are allocating resources and making decisions based on those numbers. So the more accurate, the more real time, the more transparent they are, the better you can actually use them to facilitate us moving through this pandemic.
I guess another question is, how do we know if interventions are working? Say a new mask mandate comes along, or shutdown orders or reopen orders. If our data is, this happened today, plus or minus 2 weeks, does that muddy the waters to figure out the impact of these changes?
It definitely does, because what you see is that people don't contextualize the information that well, and they don't realize that something all of a sudden is going up, and that's because there was a data dump from maybe a VA hospital finally reported their data, and now that's in the state numbers, and it makes things look bad. But then when you look in the little parentheses, it's like, oh, those positive tests go back a month and a half. So it makes it impossible to really do things if you don't know what the data is actually reflecting.
We're talking to Dr. Amish Adalja from the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security. He says, there's a lot of data out there when it comes to COVID-19, but data is collected differently in different hospitals, local units, states, and it's really hard to figure out sometimes what's going on, especially in real time. Dr. Adalja, it sounds like the best fix would be a time machine and go back 2 years and get things ready for the pandemic. We can't do that, obviously. Are there fixes that would at least get us there, even amidst, as you said, the fog of this pandemic?
So what I think has happened is so many people have gotten interested in epidemiology. There's many websites that do try to standardize that. One is the institution that I'm affiliated with, Johns Hopkins, where there is a dashboard where you can look at a lot of state-level data. There's the COVID tracking project as well. So there are other people that are kind of picking up and standardizing that data and making it more usable. So it's not always that you have to rely only on your state's dashboard, because there are people out there trying to contextualize it and understand it. And I think it's hard for the public because they want to go to a government. They may want to go to a government source, but what we've seen is the private sector in this pandemic really get very interested in epidemiology and provide really good information. So, you know, I myself infrequently look at state dashboards, but look at some of the other organizations that are collecting data to actually know that it's all standardized and see the caveats really laid out.
For a layperson listening and thinking, I want to know what's going on in my town, city, county, that, you know, really local level, what would you recommend to them to try to get the most up-to-date data?
So what I would look at is probably the county health department that you're in and trying to see how many tests that are being sent are coming back positive. I think that's the easiest one. It tells you how hard or easy it is to find cases in your given area. And if your percent positivity is going down, it's below 5% or so, you really are in a much better shape than if it's 10%. And watching that trend. And then also just pay attention, read the fine print and say, the test results from today reflect tests that were conducted from blank and blank, and try just keep that in mind. It's usually written there, but people overlook that part of it, including the press, and that will give you an idea of how real time the data is.
On the other hand, I know it's easy to get caught up in today's numbers from the state or whatever, and there can be little wiggles up and down. That daily number might not be representative. How do we average things out, I guess, to get a good sense, whether we're individuals or policymakers, to get a good sense of the direction, the trends of cases and deaths and hospitalizations?
So what people do is usually take 7 days and average them together to try and remove some of the day-to-day changes that might occur, because maybe a nursing home got tested on this day, or maybe a jail got tested on this day that caused some difference, or there was a data dump on one of those days. So all of that is sort of minimized when you look at 7 or 14 or 10-day averages, rolling averages. And a lot of that data is available publicly if you look for it. And so it does give you a broader sense of the general trend and the trajectory in a given region versus a snapshot just that minute, which could be subject to something that acutely happened that day.
It looks like we're going to be dealing with COVID-19 one way or another for a long time now, but I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. Can we learn lessons from where we are now, so when we're past this, we get systems in place for, God forbid, the next pandemic, so we're not trying to scramble to make sense of these, you know, non-standardized numbers in the future?
I do think that this pandemic is really a wake-up call to most people, because all of us in the field have been warning about pandemics, but even when you look back at 2009 H1N1, it was a mild pandemic, and it didn't really shake people to their core the way that this one did. And now we can see how much having a better system to prepare for pandemics would have saved us in terms of the trillions of dollars of loss, the disruption, the hundreds of thousands of lives lost. All of that didn't have to be this way. So I do think that now there is this window of opportunity to get this right, to fortify our pandemic preparedness, because it's not a question of if there's going to be another pandemic. It's inevitable there will be another pandemic. And we cannot afford to have these mistakes be made again and again and again.
Dr. Adalja, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That is Dr. Amesh Adalja, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security. We talked to them today about how a lack of consistent public health data on COVID-19 across the country is making the fight against the pandemic more difficult than it needed to be.